Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone on today's ALAC Leadership Team mid-monthly teleconference on Wednesday, the 12th of November at 2200 UTC. We have Tijani Benzema, Olivier Crétin-Leblanc, Cheryl Langenhall, Maureen Hilliard, Julie Hammer, Leon Sanchez, Alan Greenberg, Holly Raich, Glenn McKnight, and Darren Gillen. From Spark, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Tony Agnew, and myself, please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. Right. The first item, I think we're going to swap items, and since Leon is on, is here now, and we're not quite sure exactly when he's going to have to leave, why don't we do item number 10 first, and then we'll go back to the regular assignment. Now, as I think I announced to the ALT, but I won't say I'm 100% sure, I have asked Leon to take the lead responsibility in working on meeting with staff on meeting schedules. Essentially, that means Leon's going to be czar of meetings. We have a number of targets for the coming meetings. The first target is that the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. meetings, we're going to try to minimize the number of days we do that. There's no guarantee we will not do it at all, but certainly we're going to try to reduce that. That is without the ability to expand the meeting week, and we'll talk about that in a little while. In face of what seems to be an ever-increasing number of ICANN-wide meetings or meetings that are scheduled outside of our control, that is inevitably going to imply that we have fewer sessions for the ALAC, fewer open sessions, fewer working group sessions. Exactly what that means is not 100% clear at this point, but almost invariably we're going to have to say no to some people who would like to have some time, and that means both people that we meet with and internal meetings within at large. So, Leon, there was an initial meeting between staff and Leon yesterday, which I unfortunately missed. So, Leon, would you like to get on and give us sort of your perspective of what you think this is going to be? I must admit, I've asked Leon to do this without any real perspective for what's involved in the task, and he took it on without any hesitation whatsoever. So, I'm not sure what that says about his intelligence. Leon, you're on, if you can speak.
Thank you very much, Alan. Yes, definitely we'll try to keep out of 7 a.m. meetings. We'll begin at 6 a.m. instead. No, that's true, of course. what we spoke about yesterday in our meeting was that in order to achieve this goal, we need to prioritize the meetings we want to have in the next item meeting. So what we're going to do is to begin working with staff to make a draft schedule in which we can have a list of topics. Will be, of course, hot topics for the ICANN meeting in Singapore. And we'll also have a list of working groups which have met regularly in between the ICANN meetings, and, of course, try to find out whether a face-to-face meeting is of the essence for the ICANN meeting or that working group could continue to work remotely. So once we have this prioritization, we'll accommodating the blocks according to the time we have available. And, of course, we will take a little bit to the to get your feedback. Another point we spoke about yesterday is that we would maybe be thinking on a tentative ALT meeting on Saturday. What we spoke is that most of us arrived at a time that instead of wanting to go and have dinner and work, we would most likely want to rest because of the long journey. So what we spoke is that we might be getting a day earlier so we can then on Saturday have this day of meeting to prepare for the Sunday meeting. Another point we spoke about yesterday is on the board and ALAC meeting, which is scheduled to be on Wednesday from 8:45 to 9:45. So we wanted to get your feedback on whether you are okay with this time slot and this duration for the meeting with the board. And also we want to ask whether we want to have a wrap-up session on Wednesday night. There are a series of factors that are not yet decided that might affect us having our wrap-up session on Wednesday night. But of course, as events evolve, we'll keep you posted and we'll be able to confirm on whether we'll have this wrap-up session on Wednesday night or we will schedule it at some other point. And the last topic we spoke about is whether we should have a working breakfast for the rainbow leadership. Of course, I would appreciate your feedback. As Alan said, I haven't done this ever before, and all the help you can provide me will be really much appreciated.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Leon. Expand on a couple of things that Leon said. We have requested that all ALT members arrive on Friday. And the first meeting will take place, the ALT discussion or business meeting, which has been taking place over dinner, will take place in the afternoon on Saturday. Therefore, you know, if anyone chooses, they could arrive Saturday morning and still be there on time. But we're giving you the convenience of arriving the night before and getting good night's sleep if you choose. And in terms of departure, ALT people, we have asked and we're expecting to be given a departure of Saturday for all ALT members and a departure of Friday for the other ALAC members. So there's no reason to for people not to attend all of the meetings. And I will be sending out a note to that effect, essentially. So hopefully we've eliminated the problems of people having to leave early and miss half the meeting because they're on a flight early in the day on Thursday or something like that. Don't think there's anything else specifically related to the agenda, the scheduling that we know at this point. As Leon mentioned, there are a number of variables that are certainly need to be refined, but for better or worse, a lot of the things around us are being settled before we really get into this game. So we have a lot less flexibility than we have in some years past. Holly, you have your hand up.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Alan. I would ask of Leon if we can have a look at even a draft schedule and perhaps all of us put our comments together for Leon, to help Leon out to plan. I think Leon, I had difficulty hearing him, but I think he asked for input. And if there's either a wiki or some way we can do that, that would be, I very much appreciate that. And I think it would help Leon out as well. Thank you.
Staff, are we going to be able to do something like that or either present the formal schedule in the normal way or perhaps an abbreviated spreadsheet showing what we know now?
Gisela, would you like to respond to that, or should I take a stab at that?
Gisela, for the transcript, we can work on a skeleton schedule for now, but we're not really aware of any of the other meetings at this stage. I'm sure that you will know over the next few weeks, but we can definitely work on a skeleton schedule. And as Leon said, we will also be presenting a list of the working groups who have met regularly I'd say at least this year, not counting London as it was a bit of a particular meeting, if we could possibly add Buenos Aires into the mix to show which working groups are going to meet. So yes, we can work on that or something. If it's going to be Wiki-based, I'll just have to work with Leon on that.
Okay, thank you. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I do think that what Leon is doing now is very important. But I want to say that it is always more or less done in this way. The skeleton is very, very helpful and very good, and we have to get it as a standing skeleton, if you want. What was killing us in the past was the meeting that we had at the last moment. So I think that, Alan, if we can make guidelines in our ELAC and at large, that any meeting has to be announced or given to Leon and the staff, let's say at least 1 month or 2 months before the meeting, because this is the problem, this was the problem, and this will remain the problem. I am not talking about the meetings of the whole ICANN. I am talking about our own meetings. So, yes, the skeleton, and we have to agree on it, and it will be, for me, it must be something that we repeat for every meeting, more or less, with a small refinement. But any other meeting, any working group meeting, any, I don't know, informal meeting has to be decided on and put on the schedule sufficiently in advance so that we will not be in the same situation running from a meeting to the other, missing a meeting, etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. A couple of comments. We will also, and I don't think Leon mentioned that, but I know I've talked to staff about it. To the extent possible, when we have meetings that are in different rooms, we will do our best to make sure that that we have a little bit of transition time. And even for other meetings, when some participants may be moving, we will try to allow a small gap between them. Probably not as large as people want, but we will try to have a little bit of free time. With regard to last-minute schedules, I can only agree in concept, but sometimes situations change around us quickly, and if they do, we will have to make a decision whether the new meeting we want to schedule is worth the hassle that it will cause because of the last-minute change. I think that's a prioritization we have to do on the fly. It's simply not something we can simply say we won't allow it at all. We see what happens in the regular ICANN schedule, where we say there's no changes that can be made in the last N weeks, and of course when the world changes, schedules change. So we're going to try to minimize that, hopefully. Olivier.
Yes, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking, and you've kind of said what I wanted to say here in some way. In fact, in the past, we have done what we are doing now, which is to have a certain number of meetings and defined for each day, because we have had to furnish, to provide these details over to ICANN for it to be on the main schedule and to have room allocations, at least 2 months, or I don't know the exact number of weeks, but quite a large amount of time in advance. What has then happened is that ICANN leadership, meaning the board and senior staff, have moved everything around, have decided to add more meetings themselves that everyone should attend, and then we've had to move our schedule around, thus ending up with 7 a.m. meetings. So I would provide you with an advance warning to have enough empty spaces left in your agenda for all of the stuff that's going to fall on us 3 weeks before an ICANN meeting, because that's what happens. And you know, it's terrible, and this is why it's made an absolute mess of our schedules. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. There's no question that Los Angeles was, the worst that we've had because of the additions and the changing dynamic that was going on because of IANA accountability and a bunch of other issues. So we're going to have to live with part of that, but we're going to try to minimize it. Olivier, is that a new hand or an old one not down? I'm assuming an old hand.
Yeah, it's an old hand. I'm in the kitchen.
Yep.
I haven't taken my the kitchen
I
now.
I understand the problem. Okay, we'll go back to the original agenda now, and back on to item number three. Some new things, perhaps, and revise a number of old things. As I said before I took this job, that I was going to be delegating a fair amount of work. We've just talked with Leon about the meeting scheduling. There's a number of other assignments that have either explicitly been made or, in some cases, implicitly been made. And I am both grateful of the people who have taken on these roles, and I hope everyone will feel comfortable with them. Olivier, as we know, has been playing a stalwart role on leading the IANA discussions, and the number of meetings continues to grow, and I'm very pleased that we've had someone who has taken the lead on those without me having to chair everything and sometimes keep up with the things, which I haven't been able to. Tijani has agreed to be the focal point on the finance and budget, and as we'll talk about in a little while, that's going to require a fair amount of work. Holly, I don't think we've announced this yet, Holly, but Holly has agreed
no.
to take the lead on the upcoming ALAC review. And again, one of these assignments that I have not a clue what it means, but Holly has agreed to do it nevertheless. And at that point, we're talking about organizing whatever it is we're going to do ahead of time for the review. And if you are at all aware of the current GNSO review, they have put a huge effort into doing what started off as a self-study but has become a larger animal than that. And I think we may well want to do something like that. Discussions will start with ICANN staff shortly on how this review is going to unfold. At this point, we have no clue really as to what the targets are, if there are any, from the Structural Improvements Committee. And it's going to be something that will certainly be a part of our life for the next year or two. I have taken a rather strong position that regardless of the outcome, it will not disrupt our lives as much as the last one did and as much as the last GNSO one did, where essentially it stopped many other activities for a good part of a year to 2 years. And we just have too many real things going on that we can't afford that. So that's one of the other items that are going on. Have I missed anyone? Don't think I have. There's other things that are going to be coming as we start looking at some of the tasks ahead of us. So there will be more that we'll be taking on. And I personally don't see any reason that assignments have to be made only to ALT members if there are other people in the community who are willing to take on specific assignments and work. And I'm hoping people will not object to that. Olivier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. You're speaking. I was just going to add, as far as the follow-ups that I'm working on, the Atlas II implementation and Atlas II follow-up is one of the things that I'm keeping a close eye on, and I've willingly at the moment not pushed forward with it so as to allow for everyone to settle back and get into the rhythm of work. But obviously we need to do something with all the work that we've had our ALS do, and obviously we have made some promises to the board, so we need to honor those and to follow up. I certainly see a number of real opportunities there to push for the board to accept some things which they might have been, I wouldn't say just pushing back or saying no to, but rather have been putting on the side thinking, well, it's just a couple of people in at large that want this. Having this document with all of the ALSs being present there and having contributed to this is giving us some great weight to push forward on things. And so that I'm really having hoping that we can transform this try into a drop goal afterwards. If you're a rugby player, you would understand what I mean. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. And by the way, we're going to have a rule against jumping ahead in the agenda and discussing things that are later on the agenda, number 12 in this case. But we will get to it. Thank you. I didn't mention in assignments things that people have been doing on an ongoing basis, and certainly Olivier has been working on Atlas and recommendations, and that won't stop. Tijani has been doing huge amounts of effort on training and webinars putting together a whole program. So there's a lot of things that have been an ongoing effort, and I didn't particularly highlight those, but we're not forgetting anyone. Does anyone have any objections to my comment that some assignments may well be made outside of the ALT? Hearing nothing, I will presume that whoever we can attract into doing work will take advantage of. All right, the next item number 4, is a whole set of issues related to ALS. The first one is the certification rules. In investigating what we do with the voting, as a discussion we had several weeks ago, and looking at some of the issues related to Internautica Columbia, I came to the realization that virtually all of the rules, the detailed rules about how we conduct discussions within the RALO, how we do the certification vote, we are following virtually none of the rules on the books. It's not that we're doing anything unreasonable, but the words were outdated a long time ago, so we will be looking at that, and I'll be putting together a small group to try to at least align the rules with what we do, if not change them. Related to that is the voting, and you will recall that we had a long discussion on the list prior to the ICANN meeting. And the conclusion we sort of came to was that we would have open voting for everything with the exception of the situation where an ALS, where the RALO has not provided advice to the ALAC. And in that case, we would have some level of a secret ballot, perhaps if the voting mechanism can allow it, noting how people voted but not making it public, but allowing us to go forward and try to understand why someone is rejected if they are. Because we do have a requirement when an AL applicant is rejected to tell them why they were rejected, something that we cannot do with a true secret ballot. I am going to suggest when the ALAC meets that we modify that slightly and add that should any ALAC member request that a particular ballot be secret, that would rule. And I think that's a reasonable position. So if someone is in a position where they know things are going to be awkward, we can arrange for a secret ballot, and I hope no one will object to that. Lastly, we are going to start an exercise of looking at ALS criteria and what we expect of an ALS. Currently, there is very little in writing anywhere on what we expect of an ALS once certified, and there's particularly relatively little other than they must be controlled by individual users in terms of criteria. And I think we're going to do a review of that. What the outcome will be, I don't know. There may be no change, but I think we're going to have to look at what we're doing and make sure that we are comfortable with the rules we have for adding ALSs and for what we expect of ALSs. It's not 100% clear how we make those rules retroactive to the 180 ALSs we have now, but it's the first step. Any comments on any of the ALS issues? Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. One of the questions which came up, or one of the suggestions which had come up in previous discussions on this, was to strengthen the due diligence process, which has been taking place and which I personally think is quite mundane in that it says, does it have a website? Does it have members? Does it have, you know, and which I think 99% of those things can be faked one way or other. And I have serious concerns that as time goes and with the flow of new ALSs coming in, we might have some fake ALSs being created with a fake website and number of members that don't really exist that just have Gmail addresses and things like that. I wonder whether there is any taste for being able to strengthen the due diligence one way or other. Of course, not going into details, but that was one additional thing I wanted to put on the table. Thank you.
Certainly there's a taste from the chair to do that. I think we want to have much stronger rules all around in terms of what we're expecting. I think an ALS with, you know, 10 people on the books and one active member is something which is not really helping us make the case that we're representing users. I think we need to look at the concept of individual users for ALS that will accept those and try to make sure that if we have an ALS which we are claiming is a substantive group within some city or country, that we can defend that. So I don't know exactly how this will unfold, but I certainly support the kind of thing you're talking about. Tijani. We can't hear you. Maybe you're muted.
Thank you. Yes, now you hear me. Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I would like to say that this issue of ALS criteria, ALS expectation, is really a problem now. Now we have grown enough in terms of number. We have to grow in terms of quality. I am now chairing a group in Afralo addressing the review of our operating procedure, operating principles. And the issues we are discussing, every time I feel there is a pushback from the established ALSs, that, by the way, are more or less one person ALS, and that they are really inactive in everything regarding the substance. They are only there for procedure, for voting, for traveling, etc. Those people are pushing back any possibility of having individual members. They are pushing back any possibility of evolution. So now we are facing a problem, I think, a big problem even. This problem is that we have already ALSs. They are established. They are present because every time you have something about procedure, they are there. They refuse any evolution. I am a little bit sad about that. We need to have in the future at least better criteria for the recruitment of ALSs. And in fact, Olivier is hand right. The due diligence, any fake ALS can pass the due diligence, no problem. So it is, I think we have to review all the process, all the system. We need now to have perhaps less ALSs, but better ALSs, real ALSs, real representatives of the end users. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I put myself in the queue. If I had had to run for the position of chair, my campaign would have been, we have quantity, now we have to go for quality. And that's not to say we don't have some quality people around and quality ALSs, but we don't have enough of them. And we have too many that aren't. So I agree with everything you said. I agree with everything that was said initially. I believe we're going to have to do some work here. One of the reasons that I'm raising this at this level, and not just at the RALO level, is the ALEC has a responsibility to create at large, and we are not going to shirk that responsibility. Not everything can be delegated to the RALOs. And I note Maureen's comment in the chat that the metrics group is looking at this, and some of that I think is going to come back to the ALAC, because if we do the kind of things that Olivier and Dejani have said, there will be pushback. And I think this is going to have to be done by the ALAC as an ALAC effort, because ALAC is the group that has that that control and has that responsibility. Olivier.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. I've been following the discussions on the AFRALO rules of procedure quite silently, actually, not being on the calls, but certainly following the discussions on the mailing list. And it is true that there is pushback, and it's not only an AFRALO that there's pushback for. Let's say, for example, the individual having individual membership and so on. It's also present in other regions. And one of the things which Tijani might wish to quote is the actual at-large review, which had many recommendations. And I'm a little concerned that we might have dropped a few of these recommendations as we put them on a path saying, well, you know, they're implemented because that has been passed on to the RALO, and it's the RALO now to drive it forward, and yet we are not managing to completely implement that recommendation. And I remember that, just from memory, that one of those recommendations was that the RALOs should start accepting individual membership and design individual members, design a program for individual members. So that was one thing, and perhaps that's something which then can be pushed onto the RALOs. But the second thing is a bit of a half a question, being at the end of the day, it is the ALAC that accredits an organization that comes in and that applies as an at-large structure. The RALO only provides advice to the ALAC. I wonder whether it is possible for the ALAC to effectively set the rules on these things. And not resort to the RALO's current membership to agree to rules that they might wish to disagree with for their own personal sake, completely disregarding the needs of the ALAC itself.
Olivier, I'm going to cut you off, and I'm going to ask Cheryl to be very brief. We're running out of time, and we're having the discussion, the substantive discussion here that we need to be having in a wider group. I think we're all preaching to the converted here. There is absolutely no question that we need to be setting rules, I believe, and I hope that will be the outcome, and be much more in control of the process than we have before. When we last set the rules in 2007, it was a very, very different environment than we are in now, and I think we're going to have to act accordingly because of that. Cheryl?
Very briefly, Cheryl, for the record, then, in response to things that are still outstanding in terms of recommendations from the initial ALAC review, they're not negotiable. We undertook as a community to have them enacted, and the ALAC has every right and indeed must ensure that the RALO rules of procedure reviews, if they are an impediment to things such as individual membership, are solved, because there isn't a choice, it's mandatory. In answer to Olivia's question regarding the ability to manage and massage the rules, absolutely 100% yes. In fact, we only bought the RALOs in as a matter of courtesy, notice the sneer in my voice, it's deliberate, so that they could feel more engaged and we could increase our likelihood of local due diligence being effective. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. If we can go on to the next item now, this will be a very short one. That is the selection of members for the CCWG, the Accountability and Governance CCWG. We did a consensus call where the ALAC has agreed through the process that was suggested by the ALT. That is, Olivier is putting together his group, and I understand from Olivier that the group is largely unchanged at this point, so it's effectively put together, which will do the selection. I will be sending out a call for expressions of interest that should have gone out already, but if it's running late just because of other things, I'm going to try to get that out tonight. It looks like the group, various groups may have people selected in about 3 weeks. Some of them will probably take longer than that, but our target, I think, is to do about 3 weeks. And so, Olivier, I answered an email to you yesterday. You can remind me what I said. I think I said that we would allow about 10 days for the expression of interest and then give you in the order of 2 weeks to be able to do the collection based on that. Is that what I said to you, or am I misremembering?
Yes, thank you very much, Olivier speaking. Indeed, that's what you said, and I can also, since I have the mic at the moment, advise you that I have also sent a note to the selection committee that performed the previous selection, asking for anyone who wanted to go for any of those positions which you have mentioned, that they should stand down, of course, because they would be in conflict. So far, no one has stood down from the committee, so it looks as though we might be ready to perform the task without any changes to the committee.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. 3 weeks, I think it's too long. I know that the process will take time, but you know very well that as soon as the charter is approved, the CWG will start working, because time is very, very important. We are in a very tight time. So perhaps if you can shorten this period, it would be better.
I did talk to Byron yesterday. They're not approving it until the 21st, I believe, or they're not considering it until the 21st, and he thinks it will take several weeks, probably at least 3 weeks, for the CCNSO to select their members. The GNSO is approving tomorrow, and they will then presumably start their process roughly in parallel with ours. There's no way this can really get started until the middle of December. But we're going to try to make sure that we're not the impediment to doing this. We will also, I believe, be asked to identify a co-chair. And Tijani, just a quick question: is there any requirement? The co-chair presumably must be a member.
Yes.
Okay. So we don't have another person in addition to the five for the co-chair. So we can't select our selection of co-chair until we have the five people selected, if I understand correctly.
I think so.
Yeah. So we're going to proceed with that as quickly as possible. I do want to give a reasonable time for people to respond. What we are looking for is not anyone who wants to put up their hand and say they want to do the work. As the charter says, this is likely to be a long-term and relatively intensive commitment. We are expecting people to go into this either with specific expertise related to accountability and governance and or knowledge of what's happened before in ICANN, the ATRTs, and knowledge of ICANN's bylaws and things like that. We have very few people who have that knowledge ahead of time, but we're asking people to make a commitment to get up to speed very quickly. So the selection group is going to have a particularly hard time, I think, of finding good people. But we want to try to give them the benefit. Now, there is one question that I will be raising with the ALAC. I don't want to discuss it right now, but I will arrange it. We'll be discussing it then. If you noticed in my call for consensus, I said that we are expecting Olivier's selection group to fill these positions one per region. And we're going to need, we the ALAC will need to give them guidance
as to what happens if they cannot find a good candidate for a region. The alternatives are, obviously there's two alternatives. One, we give them permission to fill it from some other region and lose the regional representation in the name of a better candidate from the first group, or we keep positions open and do an extended secondary call and try to fill that position as soon as possible, but probably after the group starts meeting. So think about that. I will be sending out a note to the ALAC ahead of time, and we will have that discussion during the ALAC meeting. The next item is Olivier asked for 10 minutes, and I asked him to reduce that if possible, talking about are we going to provide any guidance to the people going to Frankfurt, and he and I are among those two people, in terms of what kind of structure to support for this new IANA embodiment. And Olivier, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Alan, for speaking. I had to actually wanted to add one more thing on the previous agenda item.
Okay.
Thank you. It's to do with the requirements for a member of the Accountability Working Group. As you know, the selection committee asks specific questions in its request for EOIs. And, of course, the ones which we have asked with regards to the account to the IANA stewardship transition should probably be different to the ones that we would be asking for the accountability process. And I wondered whether you or the ALC thought that the selection committee could change those questions, or do you wish the ALC to change the questions, or the ALAC to change the questions?
Well, we don't have the flexibility of the ALAC changing them because that EOI must go out soon. And to be quite honest, I haven't thought about that. If you have any suggestions that you would like to send to the ALT soon after this meeting, then I certainly have some suggestions. And it's, a large part of it is going to focus asking the people to what extent they already have knowledge background of the various aspects. But if you have thoughts of how you want to phrase the question, then I would suggest you do that as quickly as possible after this meeting to the ALT list.
Okay, yeah, but I'll probably do that. Or I think, it's Olivier speaking, I think it's probably great if all of you on the call could send a note to the ALT thinking what you believe should be the needs for someone on this accountability group.
Yep.
And then we can just, because if I was to say something, I would obviously have to come back to the selection committee, and it would take a few days for them to come back and have a concerted idea.
Olivier, it's not you and the selection committee, it's me asking the ALT. I forgot.
Okay.
Thank you for the reminder.
All right, thank you.
Because ultimately it's the ALAC that's doing the selection, we've asked the committee to do the dog work, but it's the ALAC doing the selection. And I think it's reasonable for us to come up with a short list, given the tight time frame. And said I really would have wanted to get the EOI request out today. Based on what we've just discussed, it's not going to go today, but it really needs to go really soon. Okay, Olivier, back on to accountability, though.
Yes, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And I think we're not back onto accountability. We're on to the next. Which is to do with the IANA stewardship transition.
IANA.
So, thank you, Alan. So, the IANA stewardship transition, as you know, has got a number of processes that are taking place, and one of them is developing the naming issues side of the transition. So that's the operational community that is ICANN. There is a cross-community working group that's been in place to start working on this, and it's structured its work in quite a nice way, with a number of questions, and it's basically just started chopping the issues into smaller bite-sized parts. Now, one of the problems, or one of the things that we have coming up, there was a request, an RFP subgroup that met earlier today, that had a number of documents to look at, and one of the documents was to do with basic questions such as, do we want the accountability process to be in-house, or do we want it to be different? Do we want IANA, the IANA function, to remain within ICANN or to go outside of ICANN, and this sort of thing? And so altogether, a document has been put together, and tomorrow there is a call of the overall working group on the naming issues. And obviously, you may not know, but next week there is a face-to-face meeting of that working group in Frankfurt. I'm hoping that by then we can have some kind of concerted point of view within the at-large community, and certainly within the ALAC, and even more amongst the five members that are members of the working group and that will be traveling to Frankfurt. In order to achieve this, and in order to reflect the IANA issues, working groups, work, and consensus, we had a meeting earlier today that decided for a little a survey to be asked using SurveyMonkey that would be both sent to the members of the at-large IANA issues working group and also be sent to the ALAC. And Alan, please correct me if I'm wrong on this. I believe it is to the ALAC that we asked for this to be sent, not to the whole at-large community.
We discussed both. I think the focus was on the ALAC, because we were looking for people who have been either involved in this or who have a mandated responsibility to help make the decision. So you have
Thank you.
Talking about the group and the ALAC. Yeah.
So we basically started out right after the call. Ariel and I worked together, and she has done wonders in putting together the survey. And I wanted to just pass the first two or three questions to you all as unsuspecting victims, to just for you to provide details and think, well, is this something that's self-explanatory that that can be answered? And I will ask Ariel to please share the link of the survey. There we go. The survey is right in the chat at the moment. The first three pages, quickly, the first page, asking for the name. Why do we ask for the name? Because we are going to weigh, so the working group will weigh the answers from working group members at a higher level than answers from the ALAC, from people that do not take part in the working group. Obviously, that's because people who take part in the working group are much more informed about these issues, which, by the way, are getting more and more complex by the day. It's one of these things. So that was the first thing. And then the first question was, do you support the creation of an oversight body for the naming-related IANA functions? That's a copy of a poll that we had during our conference call earlier today. And it's either yes, or there are three different types of no. No, I would prefer a mechanism for oversight. No, I would support a mechanism for oversight with the possible capability of separation. And the third one, no, but I don't have other suggestions. And then for each one of the questions we ask, there is undecided. I didn't want to put as the thing saying none of the above, because none of the above might make people think, well, I'm actually against having an oversight body, and so I'm just going to put none of the above in all of the questions, and that doesn't help us. What we're looking at here is if we're going to not have an oversight body, then we're fine. But if we're going to have an oversight body because all of the other communities want an oversight body, we need to have a next guest, basically, and be aware of what our next second choice is going to be after that. So that's the first page. In each page, there is the ability for the person to comment, because some people might answer undecided and might provide the details why they would be undecided on this. If we just click on this quickly. Oh, yes, and Ariel reminds me that all of the questions which are starred need to be answered. So if we put the first one, So you don't need to comment, for example. And then the example here is creation of an oversight body. And so we've got the different proposals which are picked up straight from a paper which was distributed to the working group, and that has a matrix of three different scenarios. And so I will be quiet here for a few seconds as you just scope through this. I'm not asking you to read the questions, just scope through it. Is this a good layout that will yield answers, or is this going to confuse people? Over to you, Alan, and to any questions or comments from you.
I know Holly's hand was up but is now down. On this question, ignoring the fact you spelled separation incorrectly, I don't know what that option means, because I don't know who is going to be separated from what. So I think you need to be clear if you want people to answer the question and understand from their answer what it is they're saying. That's number one. Number two, an oversight body presumes that the responsibility for managing IANA will rest with ICANN, and this is a body overseeing ICANN and overseeing ICANN's handling of the matter. And I think that needs a preamble, because that's well understood by some people who have been deeply engrossed in it, but is not going to be understood by other people.
Thank you, Alan. It's Sophia speaking. I think that what we will do then is either provide those details on the SurveyMonkey or in a separate message. Would you say providing a quick intro on the SurveyMonkey's first page is a better alternative?
I think it's mandatory.
Okay, thanks. So we'll work with Ariel and add this immediately after this call. The aim is to send this survey out as soon as possible. The time is just so tight these days. And the closing time for the survey would be 0000 UTC on Monday.
The real issue, Libby, is to make sure that when we get answers, they have some meaning to us. And that's why I worry about things. Are we going on to the next question yet?
I have already gone on to the next question.
Okay.
I'm on question number 6 already, I believe.
All right, I'm not. Question number 3,
so,
I can't see what you're doing. On question number 3, you need another option of some combination of them. Because one of the things that came out in the discussions today was those proposals were put together by one person in the middle of the night. They're not necessarily optimally optimized.
Okay, so you would add an additional choice, which would be some combination of the above. Okay, Ariel, I hope you're taking notes.
So all the next questions up until 6 are tedious. You have to actually answer these things.
Yeah, just type any name and type yes, whatever, and then click next.
I did, but you have to keep on going from the top of the screen to the bottom. How many questions?
So question number 3, basically, is the one you could look at. Question number 3 has got the 3 different proposals. We've color-coded them into 3 columns, and that's the question here, is this understandable?
Well, I think you're optimistic that you're going to get people to read all of these things, but go for it.
They can't be summarized, Alan. I'm sorry.
No,
because if we summarize them, we change the dynamics of it. And this is what's going to be presented to the wider working group, so it's a tough one. Thank you.
Let me try to summarize, and then we have a hand up from Tijani. Summarize what I got the tone of the meeting today, and I did put it in the chat at the end. I think the general perception of most people on that call, and we're talking about the at-large ad hoc call, is that they would like to see the operation still maintained as not a subsidiary, as a part of ICANN, and that we would like some level of oversight as simple as possible, preferably without new corporate structures, if it can be made effective. And if that cannot be made effective, then we may need some level of oversight over and above ICANN. The bottom line is, as a California corporation, the board is obliged to make its own decisions, and it's not clear what mechanisms will legally work to direct the board to do something different. If the board is, and we're looking at the worst case scenario, that the board has gone rogue and is not satisfying the community's need in running IANA. So my sense was we're looking for simplicity if we can possibly achieve it, and short of that, we may need something akin to the later proposals that have to do with external corporate structures. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Instead of adding a combination of those options of those proposals, I propose that we add other proposals, and we have the comment box to explain what is the other proposal. Because sometimes it is not a combination of those proposals; it's something else. If it is a combination, we can say other and say what is other.
Thank you, Tijani. I'm happy to leave it to Olivier now that he's heard both of those suggestions to either take one, take the other, or take a combination of them as he thinks fits. I think Olivier understands the issue that we've raised.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. It's Olivier. I'd say we could add a combination, and we can add other.
Okay.
Probably makes it easier. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's go back to the agenda. Next item is Finance and Budget Subcommittee. I have made a proposal to the ALT that you've all seen. I think I received nothing but agreement that the formal minimal Finance and Budget Committee will be made up of one ALAC member from each region and one ALAC leader. One RALO leader, that is chair, vice chair, and or secretariat, be selected. As with other groups, these meetings are not necessarily closed, and we rarely restrict speaking rights. But that core, I believe, is a good combination, and I didn't receive any negative comments on it to make the formal decisions. I believe we are going to have to, that group is going to have to set some criteria based on input from the ICANN Finance and based on the history of what kind of requests is ICANN accepting. We're not going to get all of our requests accepted. No one ever does. But hopefully we'll have a better record than we did in the past. And I think we need to provide some guidance for the kinds of things that we want them asking for or that are likely to be accepted. I believe we need to be in a position where the Finance and Budget Subcommittee actually takes decisions and doesn't just blindly pass everything on or ask for something to be reworded and then passes it on. So I think we need to prioritize it. And lastly, I believe that we want to, as the ALAC, be making some budget requests also. And certainly a prime one is to expand the work week. That may not be the only thing we do. So I'm not looking on a substantive discussion here on what we should be financing or exactly what the criteria is, but is everyone comfortable with that step forward so I can outline it to the ALAC and then have perhaps a more substantive discussion at the ALAC meeting itself? I see a tick from Holly. I don't see any hands. Except
yes,
for Cheryl. Do. Cheryl and Tijani. We're slow. Cheryl, you're first.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. I did actually respond to the email saying, Alan, that's fine, but, for example, my expertise and contribution will be lost under that model. And you won't have someone who's been involved with the Finance and Budget Subcommittee since 2007. And I am not a regional leader, so I won't be serving in any capacity then on crop review team, and I doubt that my situation is unique.
Okay.
You need to consider it. It's up to the ALAC.
Thank you, Cheryl. I think I thought I addressed that, but maybe I didn't. I would personally welcome your participation and your sage advice. And the only restriction that we might make, and I certainly haven't made that decision, but it needs to be made, is should there be formal voting? And like most of our things, I hope there is not formal voting. We may want to restrict that to be regionally balanced.
Understood, Alan.
But other than that...
What about the crop review team? That's fine for finance and budget, but the crop review team is specifically balanced to be a member from the Finance and Budget Subcommittee and a member from the region.
And
we need to make sure that we don't have the same regional members trying to occupy those spaces, or you won't have a balanced review team as well. Just need to watch that as well, that's all. Thank you.
And my response was I haven't looked at the crop selection process at all, and I have no doubt that will be revised as well as the Finance and Budget being revised. And, you know, I'm completely open on that one. So I think we need good ideas. I certainly haven't looked at that at all at this point. So I'm not ruling out any of the kinds of things you're talking about, nor your involvement in the process. Tijani?
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. Since you have no opposition from the ALAC members about your mail about the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, I think that the first step is to review the composition of the group and send the necessary mail to the RALOs so that they appoint their members on the subcommittee. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Unless I'm mistaken, I don't think I sent that to the ALAC yet. I've sent it to the ALT. Now, that's not secret. Our mailing lists are open. But I don't believe I've explicitly sent anything to the ALAC in preparation for the ALAC meeting. And it is something that I want to have a discussion about at the ALAC meeting. But that will be going out in the next little while. I just wanted to have this discussion here first. Tijani, is your hand up again? I presume not. Next meeting, ALAC schedule, the meeting schedule and attendance. We went through a process of looking at, are there any times where we can hold an ALAC meeting where there is nobody who has to attend in what I was calling a blackout window sorry, I see hands up. Are these hands up still on finance and budget?
Sorry, it's an online.
Okay, and Olivier had a hand up, but it's gone now. Okay. I was trying to find, were there any windows where everyone who is mandated to attend, that is the 15 ALAC members and the formal liaisons, could attend with no one having to participate outside or within the midnight to 6 a.m. window. And I found a few slots that work in this season and one slot that works in the northern summer season. We have not gotten agreement from all ALAC members that they can participate. There are several people who have said for one reason or another, and I'm not trying to judge those reasons, but nevertheless, that they cannot participate in those windows. And so we are holding it at 2000 UTC a week from Tuesday. That is going to work because there are a number of people who said that regardless of when the meeting is, they cannot attend because they'll be out of the country, out of their country, and will be otherwise occupied. But that time will not work for future meetings. So we're going to have to go through another exercise, and I need to talk to staff and try to figure out what it is. We are essentially going to have a decision to make, and that is, do we minimize the number of pained individuals, which invariably means people who live in Australia or the Pacific, or do we try to say if there's somebody who's going to have to participate in the middle of the night that we rotate the meetings and, other people will have to suffer for some of the meetings. That ends up maximizing the number of pained people, but spreading the pain around at least. So there's nobody for whom every meeting is at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would also like to try to minimize the number of people who say, if the meeting is held at that time, I'm simply not attending. Don't count on my participation. I welcome input now for a few minutes or online afterward or an email afterwards of what's our target? What are we trying to achieve? We are a group that has people literally around the world. We are lucky right now there is nobody in China, because if there was, there would be no window that would allow us to have a blackout session. But apparently what I was trying is not likely to work. So where do we go from here? Thoughts? Or if you want to contribute later on by email, go for it.
See how it goes, Alan.
Someone wants
my
to comment
suggestion?
Now?
Cheryl here. See how it goes is my suggestion. If there's a choice of sharing the pain, I think that is nowadays a more acceptable program forward because of a number of the supporting organisations having started to do that in their work groups. That said, it does make the whole finding slots for the plethora of meetings and sub-team and sub-sub-team and other sorts of sub-sub-sub-team meetings that go on more and more complicated. So we would have to recognise that. But you may find that there is two times the nominating committee has managed to do that under my rule, and it is continuing under Stefan's rule. Two equally inconvenient times, I guess, for everybody, but where everyone can make it and is only mainly inconvenienced once, you might also have to shrink your blackout slightly.
Would you share what those two times are, Cheryl?
Top of my head, I think it's something like 2,000 and 1,300. But
for how
Joey
meeting,
be able
meetings
to.
For what length?
Sorry?
What length of a meeting?
90 minutes minimum, 2 hours frequently,
okay.
And often
about
up to three.
All right, we'll look at all those options. My fear is that if our attempt is that we spread the pain, we may end up in a situation where some people are not willing to sustain pain, and we simply have some people who routinely drop off when the meeting is at 4 a.m. in their part of the world. And as fair as that is, it doesn't end up with something that necessarily that we want. So it's going to take a little bit more work. I don't know where we are right now. I have some ideas of what the next set of questions is to ask, and we'll see where it goes from now. Clearly, it's still a problem, and I'm not very happy with saying that for the ALAC meeting, which is a mandatory meeting for that group of people, that we hold it such that some people always have to do it at 4 in the morning or 3 in the morning. That's certainly not where I would prefer to be. Okay. ALAC agenda for the 25th of November.
Tijani.
Oh,
Tijani.
I'm sorry, Tijani, I didn't see your hand. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just to say that for the webinars we did for the pre-summit, Gisela managed to find two slots of time where everybody in the world can attend without a big pain, which are 13:00 and 21:00 UTC. So if we take those times, I think those are something workable. I don't think it will be very hard to find an agreement or a consensus about one of those two times. Thank you.
We can take it offline, and I'll note that in the summer and winter season, the times change because there's a two-hour difference in some parts of the world because of daylight saving kicking in. What we found in the survey we did so far, and you can look at it yourself, is there are some people who basically are saying they will not work very late at night. So that's, you know, that is problematic if we have too many people doing that. And we have a fair number of people in Europe and Africa where we're asking them to work quite late at night. So, but I'm not trying to solve it on this call. I just wanted to let you know where we were at this point. ALAC agenda.
Quick question. Did you get full ALAC participation in your doodle?
We did.
To sort these signs out?
We had a lot of trouble because we went through several versions of the doodle, which were wrong in one way or another that had to be fixed. And plus, the intention was to try to set an ongoing time and the time for the 25th.
Yes.
The title of the doodle only said the 25th, and therefore we got effectively incorrect answers from several people who were traveling that week.
It may be worthwhile doing again with some other extensions. That's fine.
Well,
thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to look at going forward, and but yes, we did get full participation. And for those people who were traveling, we now know both what their schedule is that week and what their schedule is in the general sense. Where are we at the meeting? Number 9, ALAC meeting?
Correct, Alan.
Okay. You can click on what the agenda is. Most of the items on the agenda are the items that we have here and that we're doing a very brief discussion. Heidi, you're the one who put this together or had someone put this together. Are there any things on the ALEC schedule which are really different from what we're discussing here?
This is Heidi. No. The only addition is that there is this sub-point under 7 about the proposed pilot at-large program. And I think that is it. Also, there's an update for Olivier from the IANA Stewardship CWG face-to-face meeting.
Why don't you talk about 7A for a moment, because that hasn't been raised here before.
Okay, this is Heidi again. For Sylvia and I had a brief discussion with Christopher Mondini and Janice Dumoulin yesterday about how we could get an extension or a new type of program to bring in indigenous members. So that's worked so well, for example, with Anthony. So an idea was to have an ALAC special request for fiscal year 16 have a proposed pilot for a global program that would bring in indigenous members from, for example, North America, but also from New Zealand or Australia. So that is just an idea, and we'd like to get some input on that. If the ALAC were to be in support of that, it would be asked that indigenous members, current members, be part of the development of that, or really be the main developers of that program. That's it, Alan.
Thank you, Heidi. I mean, one question that comes to mind, to my mind, is in all the regions where indigenous people exist, and I believe you told me that your definition is indigenous people in developed countries, so people who are not eligible for the fellowship program.
Correct. That was the whole point, so that the fellowship program is not able to bring in fellows from developed countries.
It would be interesting to know to what extent we will have individual membership in those regions. So, you know, are we making a precondition of continued involvement that they somehow be able to cobble together an ALS? And that goes back to our original discussion, our earlier discussion of ALSs, which are put together simply so one person can participate. And it's something to think about as we go forward. Again, I'm not sure the discussion needs to be held right now. Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. So speaking, I was going to discuss another point, but now that we're speaking about this one specifically, is there a reason why this ended up being focused on indigenous communities rather than deprived communities, which I think was the original request, saying that there were deprived communities in first world countries and that they couldn't be catered for?
Heidi?
That would be just because the Naralo would be interested in having indigenous peoples from the First Nations people.
Well, I think Olivier's question is, do we need to restrict it that way?
No, this would be a program that would be open to the ALAC to develop.
So it's Olivier again. Why indigenous and not deprived?
Again, this is Heidi. If you would like to develop something like that, or the ALAC would, and have it be a combination of that, or just one side and include the First Nations people, then that would be okay as well.
Okay. Heidi, I think what you're hearing, at least from Olivier, and we also have Cheryl's hand up in a moment, is if there's a general agreement with that, then the title of this section should be more general, and the ALAC could decide, or the ALAC can have a discussion on the merits of focusing on one or the other or both. Cheryl?
I'm just reminding you all that the term should be disadvantaged communities within developed economies or emerging and developing economies, because I think you probably need to ensure it's emerging and developing, not just developed economies. I'm absolutely supportive of it, and Indigenous communities in many, if not most cases, will fall into that category, but we will be able to focus on those. And just on the cobbling together ALS point, certainly in the experience in Australia and New Zealand, we have highly effective and primary lobby success and very well-established bona fide organisations operating in the telco and communications worlds, and I would think some of those would be able to very successfully transition across to have interest in ICANN via ALAC. And I've dropped out of the Adobe room, so while everything reboots, just forgive me if I speak up. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. I don't think I said that we would forbid you from forming an ALS, just not that it might perhaps be nice if it wasn't the only way that you could continue participating.
Yes,
Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And so moving on the same topic of the ALAC agenda, could I please request that we have the update on the INS stewardship CWG face-to-face slightly longer than 5 minutes. We might have, it is a very complex topic, and we might need to take more than 5 minutes on this, especially there are questions which arrive then, bearing in mind that we are going to have very likely in the forthcoming month and a half or so, a public comment period opening up on these issues.
Noted.
Thanks.
Anyone else on the ALAC agenda? If not, we'll go back to the ALT agenda. And I note we only
have... Alan?
Yes.
Olivia, again, when is the deadline for adding or deleting things from the ALAC agenda?
I would say the beginning of next week, if at all possible.
Okay, thanks.
I'd like to publish the agenda, and I'm not going to be rigid and say we'd make no changes whatsoever after a week before, but I'd like to try to have the agenda relatively clean. We have 10 more minutes left in this call, and we still have a substantive number of items. In terms of the policy development, are there any crucial issues that need to be discussed at this point? And I'm asking Arielle.
I don't believe there are any, but go ahead.
This is Ariel. Thank you, Alan. We just received 2 new public comment requests, and it's on the agenda. I don't know whether you got a chance to see them yet. So we haven't decided whether we want to have a statement for these 2 new requests. And then another thing is, of course, the CCWG charter, and I have heard from Heidi ALAC wants to make amendments to it, so I'm standby, and if you want to make any revision or amendments, please let me know, and our vote is supposed to start tomorrow. So.
The vote will start tomorrow. If we have any amendments, we will vote, as we did with the IANA, the IANA charter, we will vote on them separately. That is, we will not, I do not believe, unless someone tells me otherwise, but I do not believe we want to be the only ones approving a different charter and then effectively find we're not part of the group anymore. The JNSO is meeting in a relatively small number of hours, and I believe the intent is they vote on the charter tomorrow. Cheryl, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. If we have an amendment that we plan to vote on tomorrow night and we don't tell the JNSO about it at least an hour or two before their meeting, we can pretty well assume they're not going to approve it. They may well not approve it anyway because they won't have had time to consult with their communities. But, you know, at this point, I would almost say it's too late to make an amendment that we end up having approved by all of the groups. We've had this document posted for a week now. The comment period officially closes in 39 minutes. So I personally think it's a bit late, but we may well have an amendment for our own vote. I think it's not going to end up being considered by anyone else if that's the case. Any other comments? We have Olivier, is that a new hand up?
Yes, please.
Go for it.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. On the case of the draft document from GAC subgroup on geographic names, the GAC has extended the comment period. Now, I'm well aware we have filed a comment. The GAC has extended the comment period until the 31st of December and has now published its reports in Arabic, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Russian, and Chinese. Does this group here believe that there is any need or interest in reopening the ability for further comments from at large now that we have those translated documents?
I was going to raise it with the ALAC itself and see whether there was any interest. I'm certainly not going to push for reopening, but I wouldn't object to it if there was a strong belief that we need to say something else. The amount of participation we actually had in drafting that charter was not very large. Not the charter, in drafting that statement. But I was going to mention it to the ALAC. Anything else on the open things, on the 2 other new statements, Ariel, we'll consider them via email. Atlas II recommendations. We have, I put a very short time on it. Olivier has already talked a little bit about it. My only comment was going to be, as we go forward, I don't want the ALAC to push heavily to take a recommendation which might not be something that we feel is very important and push for ICANN to put lots of resources into it. So I think as we go forward, we need to continue to look at the recommendations and make sure that this is something that we do want to push and push heavily on. We all know the mechanism by which these recommendations came about, and there may well be some that are not ones that are, you know, that we need to push on. So I think we're going to look at that carefully as we go ahead. But other than that, the work is proceeding, and Olivier is taking the lead on that. ALAC review, we talked a little bit about that earlier, that Holly will take the lead. Cheryl has agreed to work with us on that.
Cheryl, of course, was the chair during the last review and has perhaps the largest single reserve of information about how the review was conducted, how the implementation was done. And I'm very pleased that Cheryl has agreed to work on that. I am somewhat determined that we do not, as I said, I think I said earlier, do not let it take over our lives, but hopefully we can use the review mechanism to enact changes in ALAC and at large, which will help us serve the community better in the future. Any other thoughts on the review? Cheryl?
Not at this stage. I think it's early, but we do have one or two things clearly to tidy up with the final implementation from the first review. Of course, the most obvious one is indeed the individual membership in all ROAs.
Something perhaps we can talk about a little bit later.
Yep, yep.
Net Mundial. This is an issue I put on. The Net Mundial initiative has a coordinating committee, which I sensed was not looking for people from ICANN as such, but looking for representatives of, I believe it said, the four overall bodies, which is government, business, civil society, and
private sector?
No, that was their business.
Academia?
The other one, I believe, is universities and research.
Academia.
Yeah. Academia.
And those
and
four domains.
International organization. International organizations.
Yes, correct. Those four domains in each of the five regions comprising 20 people in total. Jean-Jacques sent a note saying he would like to put an application in and have it endorsed by ALAC. I don't actually see an ICANN ALAC slot in those positions other than as one of the civil society representatives. So I personally do not think this is something that we should be getting involved in, but I welcome other thoughts. Cheryl.
I totally and absolutely recommend that the ALAC and the ALT do not make any support of any candidate for this. I think you would be opening up a can of worms. I don't think it's just because one person asks you first, do you just stick with them? Do you set up a process? It gets far too complicated. I think you should respectfully decline to act as a supporter, in inverted commas, for anyone who approaches you on this.
Thank you very much, Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. Just for the sake of transparency, I would like to notify you all that Jean-Jacques did email me before. He might have emailed other people for their point of view, but my point of view was I couldn't tell him whether to ask the ALAC or not, but that he should basically ask on the ALAC internal list whether this was something that could happen or not happen. So that's why he emailed. Yeah, that's why he emailed the internal list. That's why I. Okay. Sorry,
fine.
I must be tired. I must be tired, but you get my what I said. Yeah, thanks.
But clearly, if we were going to endorse, it would be as a civil society person, and I don't think we claim to be representing that segment of the world in a sufficient way that's something we would want to be saying. Again, that was my personal decision. Tijani. Can't hear you yet.
Do you hear me now?
Now we can.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So, Tijani speaking, I do agree with you that ALAC or ALT shouldn't recommend anyone because of the reasons Cheryl just mentioned, and also because because we might have a lot of candidates, and it would be very embarrassing to support one and not support another. For the record, I have to say that Jean-Jacques said that he is applying as civil society and not as an ICANN fellow or an ALAC or ALT representative. Thank
yes,
you.
No, I understand that. My comment was I'm not sure ALAC is in a position to claim, you know, that we're advocating a particular civil society person or not. Olivia, you have your hand up. Could we hear from Holly, are you agreeing with what's going on, or are you disagreeing?
No, I agree.
Okay, fine.
I've been quietly agreeing.
Okay, and Leon isn't here. We can't ask him. I just wanted to get the full tone of the ALT. Olivier, last comment.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. Just to add, ICANN has a cross-community working group on internet governance. And I just wanted to remind you of this fact. The working group has not discussed endorsing any candidates and indeed has not received any request to endorse any candidates so far, but I expect that there might be a discussion on this, especially just relating to the Net Mundial follow-up. I just wanted to add also that the working group has started as a joint working group between the NCHG and the ALAC, which then transformed itself and is now actually being ratified by the different supporting organizations and advisory committees. And we now have a third co-chair, I think. The two other co-chairs are myself and Rafik Damak. The third co-chair now is Jordan Carter from the CCNSO. So that's great news, and we expect to get more co-chairs on this soon as well. Which case, I would suggest that the ALAC, when it comes down to internet governance issues, make use of that working group and maybe have more involvement on that working group, since it will definitely bring a lot more weight to the community on any matters external to ICANN.
Thank you very much. And is there any other business? I note we are 2 minutes over, so we have not met our goal, but can we make it not more than two? Olivier has his hand up. I hope it is an old one. Anyone want one last moment? One last comment? Going, gone. Thank you all for joining us, and
thanks,
we'll
Alan.
Be in touch. Bye-bye.
Thanks everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Alan. Well done.
Don't expect
thank you,
it.
And
don't
you
expect
Alan.
It routinely.
Nice one.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank
bye
you
everyone.
Very much. Bye bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. Have a great rest of your day.